Track 2. Hello, and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday, the 26th of July. I'm Joyce.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Margaret.
And your sound engineer this week is Aaron. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listener who has sent us, very kindly, a donation last week towards the funding of our talking news and magazine. It is Joan Simmons. Thank you, Joan. And now Louise will start off with the news.
The poorest families in a Black Country borough could be made to pay more in council tax, just months after being hit with a 2% rise. Dudley Council is again proposing altering its council tax reduction scheme by making those eligible pay an extra 1% of the full amount. The increase will hit struggling low-income families who are given tax discounts due to their financial situation. Under the proposals, they will have to pay 23% of their council tax, an average of £320 a year. It will mean an average increase of £14 a year, but comes after a 2% rise in April. Before then, families affected had to pay 20% of the bill. The proposed changes were announced by the Conservative-controlled council's finance boss, Steve Clark, despite him labelling the previous rise very disappointing last year when in opposition, as it would affect the most vulnerable. The Conservatives took control of the council in May, but are now proposing another rise. Labour councillor David Sparks attacked the Conservatives over the move, saying they were now punishing the poorest after blocking Labour's plans for a 5% council tax rise across the board earlier this year. He said, "At the budget meeting, they opposed our council tax increase. At the first opportunity, they are increasing the tax burden for some of the poorest in society. The proposals will be put to the council's cabinet tomorrow and, if approved, will go out to public consultation. Prior to the last increase, two-thirds of people who took part in a consultation about the changes stated they were against the move. A total of 113 of 280 people said they strongly disagreed with the move, while 68 said they disagreed. Only 38 said they strongly agreed, while 60 said they agreed. Council tax rose across the Dudley Borough by 4% in April. Part of the changes also include income support for young people leaving care, which could see them save money or, in some cases, pay nothing. Dudley Council leader Patrick Harley said, "These proposals will go out to public consultation and obviously we will listen to what the consultation brings back. With people about to leave care, we are helping these people. We think it's a positive and some help to people, so when they leave the care system, it is one less thing for them to worry about."
A Dudley MP demands Dudley Council weeds out the borough's grot spots. Get the grass cut, sort out the weeds and pick up the litter, Dudley North's fed up MP has demanded. Tackling the town's grot spots should be a priority for Dudley Council, according to Ian Austin, who has been inundated with complaints from constituents who are concerned about the state of the borough's streets. The Labour MP is worried that the appearance of some of the roads and traffic islands would give our visitors a terrible impression of the town. He said, "I'm from Dudley, I love the place and I'm proud of it. But people have contacted me from all over the area complaining about the state of the streets, grass verges, roundabouts and open spaces. Look at the islands at Castle Gate and Flood Street. They are the gateway to Dudley and the first thing visitors see, yet the grass isn't being cut properly. Weeds are out of control and litter is being left. How is that going to attract visitors or encourage investment?" He continued, "The people responsible for litter are the people who drop it. But it doesn't encourage people to take pride in the area if litter isn't picked up, grass isn't being cut and weeds are out of control. I don't care who took the decision to stop doing the work, but I want it changed. I would be calling for this no matter who was in charge. People pay their council tax to live in a nice area, have the grass cut and walk on clean streets. However, Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Environment Services, said the council was working hard to make sure open spaces were maintained. She continued, "We have procedures in place to manage and maintain green spaces across the borough within the budgets that were set for this year. These budgets were significantly reduced in recent years, which has had an impact on the appearance of the borough. We are currently carrying out the first of two chemical applications of the year to control weeds on our highways. Last year, weeds were only sprayed once, which again has had an impact on the weed growth this year." Councillor Shakespeare added, "We would also urge people to support our work by not littering the streets where they live or travel through. This antisocial behaviour will not be tolerated, and I want to encourage residents to report issues of fly tipping and littering to Dudley Council Plus or via the Dudley Council app, and we will take action against them."
A Starbridge dad has defended his daughter's design, which inspired the popular Black Country flag, after it was reportedly branded racist. Schoolgirl Gracie Shepherd's eye-catching red, white and black design was chosen in a public vote 5 years ago, and it was quickly adopted as the official Black Country flag. It has become the second highest selling flag in the UK and has been flown all over the world. But as Black Country folk celebrated the region at the start of a month of festivities, social media posters responded in a frenzy to reports the flag had been described as racist by a Midlands MP. Recently elected Labour MP for Wolverhampton South West, Eleanor Smith, denies making such claims and has refuted calling for it to be scrapped in a recent press interview. She said in a statement that she had merely felt uneasy about the image becoming the brand for the Black Country, on the grounds that it associates the Black Country with heritage industries rather than modern ones. And she said constituents had raised concerns about the flag and the image of a chain because of their historical use in the slave trade. However, pinned to the top of the MP's Facebook page this week was a post by Wolverhampton Momentum Grassroots Network calling for the withdrawal of the flag and for a committee representative of the diversity of the Black Country to be established to explore a more appropriate symbol for our times. Many politicians took to Facebook to voice outrage that the flag was causing such controversy, and Grace's dad, Dave Shepherd, was also prompted to speak out and defend his daughter's design, which was inspired by the American consul to Birmingham, Elihu Burritt, who described the region as black by day, red by night. He said he felt compelled as a parent to respond as commenters had speculated on Grace's motivations, naivety, integrity, education and ethics. And he thanked the hundreds of strangers who had posted online messages of support for her during the last few harrowing days. Former leader of Dudley Council, Councillor Pete Lowe, was among politicians defending the flag. On his Facebook page, he said, "I love the flag, the design and its history. The black by day, red by night imagery is perfect. The chains depicting our history of chain making, the proud dispute of the chain makers of Cradley and the Glascone Centre." He added, "The flag has been to Glastonbury, Mount Everest, flew longer in the World Cup in Brazil than the England football team did. The flag is popular. and it is loved. Its success is that it is not a political flag. It is a community flag. Stourbridge MP Margot James said on Facebook, "We are proud of our Black Country heritage, especially the chain-making industry, which flourished in Cradley Heath at the start of the 20th century."
A network of underground Second World War munitions storage bunkers were found during excavations for a new school building. Workers digging footings for the new £2.5 million extension at the Priory School in Friar Park, Wensbury, initially found what they thought was an air raid shelter at the site, but further excavations revealed a series of at least four underground walled rooms, which experts say are likely to have been used to store weapons and ammunition during the conflict. It comes as a vast two-storey extension at the Goodrated School was due to be erected last night. Bosses at Sandwell Council say they are yet to decide what to do with the bunkers, which are set to be separated from the new school building by a wall. Gary Thompson, project manager for Builders Porter Cabin, said the find came to light within weeks of workers moving onto the Dorset Road site earlier this year. "We found one large room on the border of where the new building is going, and from then this large network just unravelled. The concern for us was that they would come into the area where the school was going to be built. There were walls built inside the bunkers, signs of a much bigger complex. Fortunately, there is no impact on the new build, although there is a chance the bunkers will have to be filled in at some point." Workers have spent 5 months at the Dorset Road site to clear and prepare the ground for the new building, which will feature seven new classrooms, a dance studio and a staff room. It was constructed in modules by Porter Cabin and transported down from the firm's Yorkshire base over the weekend. Builders were due to put the impressive new building together block by block last week using two large cranes, with the building expected to be ready for use in time for the new term in September.
Cavendish House will be pulled down to make way for a multi-million pound retail development under proposals to regenerate the town centre. Plans have been in the pipeline to demolish the multi-storey building off Trindle Road for some time, but the project has been delayed by setbacks. Now Dudley Council leader Patrick Harley has revealed he expects the property to be demolished sometime next year. A planning application to demolish the former office block is expected to be submitted by its owners, Avonbury, to Dudley Council in the next few weeks. It will pave the way for a new development which will consist of leisure and retail enterprises and homes, said Councillor Harley. "It's quite an exciting time for Dudley. There is a lot of things that are about to start," he said. "There is a lot of money being pumped into the infrastructure of Dudley that is long overdue. We expect the planning application to develop the whole area to take place in late July or early August. A light demolition of the site will probably take place at the end of the year. A full demolition will probably take place next year. It has been long overdue. Cavendish House has been a blot on the landscape for more years than I can remember. The tower block has stood empty for years. It overlooks the Duncan Edwards Way bypass, one of the major gateways into Dudley. Avonbury bought Cavendish House for £800,000 at a property auction in London in 2015. The project to regenerate the site around the building will be a partnership between Dudley Council and business developers in the town, including the owners of the derelict building. The proposed development of the site will tie into a series of major projects that are planned for Dudley over the next decade, which will help to regenerate the town centre and wider region. The Black Country Living Museum has secured almost £10 million from the Heritage Lottery Fund to go ahead with a major restoration project. It will see the attraction expand by a third as a new town will be built, creating 100 jobs at the museum and more than 400 during the construction. Meanwhile, the Midland Metro is set to be extended from Wednesbury to Briley Hill under plans by the West Midlands Combined Authority. It will run along the former South Staffordshire Railway with 17 stops, including at Dudley Zoo and Castle and Merryhill.
A Stourbridge crook described as absolute menace who was armed with a machete when he robbed terrified staff at a convenience store has been jailed for 5 years and 3 months. Damien Hill, who had been hooked on hard drugs since he was just 11, snatched cash and cigarettes from Cost Cutter. The 35-year-old was with an accomplice as he raised the large machete over his head and demanded, "Hurry up, open the till." Hill was known to the staff in the store, but they were left physically sick by the incident, with one woman fearing for her life. Caroline Harris, prosecuting, said, "She said Hill had other robberies on his criminal record, and reports made it clear that he posed a high risk of causing serious harm in the future." Richard Davenport, defending, said, "He is an absolute menace because as soon as he is released from prison, he re-offends. He waved the machete. He did not touch anyone with the weapon and he did not harm anyone. It was just used to threaten." Mr. Davenport told the court, "Hill was driven to commit the robbery because of his serious crack cocaine and heroin habit, having first been introduced to drugs when he was a schoolboy." He added, "His whole life has been taken over by his addiction. He is a man who is becoming institutionalised. The lady in the shop has known him for some years and he is full of remorse for his actions." Reporter Michelle Healy, QC, said Hill was clearly in the throes of his addiction to Class A drugs, and it was a robbery that must have been utterly terrifying for the women in the store. She said they were left in absolute fear as to what might happen. Miss Harris said the second man with Hill had filled a bag with cash from the till and cigarettes, and he was still being hunted by police. Hill of Vicar's Walk admitted robbery and possessing the machete, and the recorder extended his licence on his release from custody by another 2 years.
Cladding on a building at New Cross Hospital in Wolverhampton has failed a safety test carried out in the wake of the Grenfell Tower fire. Trust chiefs have confirmed a sample from the Heart and Lung Centre at the hospital has failed a combustibility test. Bosses said they will work with the fire service to ensure the site remains safe, but the cladding will be removed in the future. Patients will be continued to be treated at the centre, which was built in 2004. All NHS trusts and foundation trusts were asked to carry out urgent fire safety checks following the fire at Grenfell Tower. So far, six NHS organisations have submitted building material samples that have failed combustibility tests, including from New Cross. The sample at the Heart and Lung Centre was found to be aluminium composite material. NHS Improvements said that, following discussions with the local fire service and NHS Improvement, it has been decided it is safest and most appropriate to continue to treat patients in this unit. David Lowton, Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust Chief Executive, said, "We can confirm that a sample of building material from the Heart and Lung Centre at our New Cross Hospital site in Wolverhampton has been found to be aluminium composite material, ACM, and has subsequently failed a combustibility test. We have since been inspected twice by local fire safety inspectors who have confirmed they are satisfied with the precautions we are taking. There are high standards of general fire practice precautions in the Heart and Lung Centre, well-trained staff available 24 hours a day and other security measures in place. We are also working with the fire service and NHS Improvements on additional measures, including enhanced fire warden patrols, keeping vehicles at least 6 metres away from the premises, increase security and staff awareness, and a slight amendment to evacuation procedures. These are in line with the updated fire safety guidance issued by NHS Improvement. An NHS Improvement spokesman said, "Patient safety continues to be our absolute priority, and we'll make sure the NHS is supported to carry out the urgent fire safety checks required." The Trust has confirmed that there are no other buildings to be checked at the hospital, and treatment will still go ahead at the Heart and Lung Centre. Work to investigate the cladding will begin in the coming months. The cost of addressing the issue of the cladding is not yet clear, with the Trust looking to put together an action plan with NHS Improvements as soon as possible. Councillor Phil Bateman, Labour Councillor for Wednesfield North, said, "This is a centre of regional as well as national importance, with people coming from all over the country to be treated. This is not good news, and it's surprising considering the building is one of the newer, more modern buildings in the hospital. I'm sure the Trust will work to reassure staff and patients that the building is safe and work to remove the cladding as soon as possible."
A slimmer who was told by his doctor that he may not be here in 10 years' time if he didn't shape up has lost an amazing 6.5 stone in less than 6 months. Glyn Woodfield, age 45, from Briley Hill, has shed the weight since January and has now been named Slimming World with Vicky's Man of the Year 2017. Glyn said that he thought slimming clubs were aimed at women and assumed the focus would be on a diet food. However, he decided to give it a try after being told by his doctor at a well-man checkup that if he didn't do something, he couldn't guarantee that he would be here in 10 years' time. Glyn said that he knew he couldn't risk not seeing his children grow up. So he said, "Deep down, I've been unhappy with my weight for some time, but it took me a long time to face up to it. And then when I did admit to myself that I wanted to lose weight, I didn't want to ask for help. I've realised now, though, that far from being weak, asking for help takes strength of character and getting support to make changes that's given me a sense of confidence that is benefiting every aspect of my life." Glyn enjoyed following his eating plan, which enabled him to enjoy generous portions of healthy food to satisfy his appetite. He continued, "It was nerve-wracking walking through those doors for the first time, but I wasn't the only man there and everyone was so supportive. I didn't know what my mates would think about me attending a slimming club, but they've been right behind it. Once they realised I could still have a beer, they started to take an interest. And when they see me eating things like steak and homemade chips, chicken curry or a roast dinner, they always ask how it's possible to eat like that and still lose weight. But what really had them sitting up and paying attention was how well I was losing weight. I now have newfound energy levels. I'm a plasterer by trade, and losing the weight has made my job so much easier," he added. Vicky Billingham, who runs the Slimming World group, said she was incredibly proud of him. "He has done brilliantly and we're all amazed by his transformation. He's a true gentleman and a real inspiration to the group, and to watch his confidence grow week by week is just priceless," she said.
Incidents in Bell Broughton and district have caused concern for those living and visiting the villages. Car registration plates were taken from cars parked in Clent and Bell Broughton at the weekend. The first incident happened between 5 p.m. on Friday, July the 14th and 5 p.m. on Saturday, July the 15th in King's Meadow, Clent. Both the front and the rear registration plates were unscrewed and stolen, but no damage was caused to the vehicle, which was parked in a designated parking area on the side of the road. The second incident happened on the car park at the Bell in Bromsgrove Road, Bell Broughton, between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday, July the 15th. Anyone with any information about either incident is asked to contact West Mercia Police on 101 or contact Crime Stoppers online at www.crimestoppers-uk.org or by calling 0800 555 111. Also in Belbroughton, the post office was the target of an attempted burglary at the weekend. A small, dark-coloured hatchback was seen to pull up outside the village post office in the High Street at around 2:20 a.m. on Saturday, July the 15th. Two men wearing hooded tops were seen getting out of the vehicle, which is believed to have travelled into the village from the Kidderminster direction. One of the men was carrying a crowbar and used it to hit the glass in the door several times, causing the glass to smash. The store's metal shutters, however, were down at the time, so the men were unable to gain access into the shop, and they got back in the car and drove off. Anyone with information about the incident is urged to contact West Mercia Police on 101 or call independent charity Crime Stoppers online via www.crimestoppers-uk.org or call 0800 555 111.
Nearly 400,000 calls to West Midlands Police's 101 number went unanswered in the last year, it has been revealed. It means more than a quarter of the 1.5 million non-emergency inquiries saw either the caller hang up or be disconnected as the force grapples with a staffing crisis and record demand. In the last 6 months, just 27% of calls to 101, designed to deal with crimes such as car theft, criminal damage and drug dealing, were answered within 30 seconds. The national target is 90%. Similarly, more than 14,000 calls to 999, around 2%, were also not picked up because handlers took too long. And 81% of emergency calls were answered within 10 seconds, still significantly short of the 90% target. A report by Assistant Chief Constable Marcus Beale said, "The level of demand the force is currently facing are far higher than anticipated for 2016-17, which has manifested itself in very high levels of 999 calls, 101 calls, incident logs and recording of volume crime. The volume of both calls for the service and volume of logs in June both saw record levels, with close to 64,000 emergency calls received and more than 15,000 logs created that required an immediate response. The force is also failing to meet its response target for arriving at crime scenes quickly. It comes just weeks after it was revealed the West Midlands is suffering a crime wave, with crime up 8% and double-digit increases for burglary, robberies, violence and possession of weapons. The force is currently trying to merge its 999 and 101 call handling teams as part of modernisation plans to deal with budget cuts. But the department has been left short-staffed and the force has been trying to recruit new workers who then have to undergo weeks of training. In February, the force contact centre had 146 vacancies out of 913 posts. That number is now down to 51. The region's Police and Crime Commissioner, David Jameson, said the fact that nearly 400,000 calls to the number were not answered last year is not acceptable. Mr. Jameson said he recognised the force was under pressure from an unprecedented level of calls, but their performance had to improve.
A controversial design for a smaller Dudley bus station faces being rejected. If, however, it's accepted, it would mean drivers would have to reverse out of bays. Angry senior councillors at Dudley Council say they will not accept the second-class proposal put forward by the new Birmingham-based West Midlands Combined Authority, insisting they will only back a first-class design for the town station. The design described as showing a lack of respect for the town would see the number of stops halved and bus drivers forced to reverse out of spaces. Councillor David Stanley, a Dudley Council Cabinet member who also sits on the Transport Committee at the West Midlands Combined Authority, said he was not in favour, while Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, a former Regeneration Chief in Dudley, said the plan would make the bus station smaller when the original desire was for it to be extended. The Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership, LEP, indicated it is ready to put £400,000 towards the scheme, likely to cost more than £1 million. Under the design, buses would park next to each other, while passengers would wait in a departure lounge. Drivers would then reverse from the stand before continuing on their journey. An upgrade for the town's bus station was first mooted 3 years ago, but a lack of funds and a desire to link bus services with the extended Midland Metro has held the project up. Councillor Stanley, Cabinet Member for Transformation and Performance at Dudley Council, said the design must be suitable and suggested more discussions were needed with the planners. He said, "I am not in favour of reversing in and out. There are more than 20 stands for buses now. What they are trying to introduce will reduce it to 11. I would rather see a first-class bus station than a second-class one that reduces stands by half. It is too small. There are first-class bus stations in Stourbridge and Wolverhampton, and I am fighting for the same in Dudley." Labourer's Councillor Ahmed said he would be calling for an urgent meeting over the future of the bus station. He said, "Dudley has one of the biggest bus stations in the Black Country and therefore needs to be given the respect it deserves."
We'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Joyce.
Goodbye from Louise.
And bye-bye from Margaret.